everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and it's time for It's All About Food. Can you believe it is October 29th, 2013, getting through another month. Time just keeps marching on. Doesn't really care about what we're doing, whether we're taking it slow or taking it fast. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. And I've been really loving it because I think autumn is my favorite season. Autumn in New York. There's a song I like to sing about that. And it has been such a perfect autumn. I don't know about for the plants, for the trees, for the ground, but for me, it's been great. And I've been outdoors a lot, really enjoying it, and I hope you have been too, wherever you have been. I want to say I feel like I slacked a little bit this week. Usually when I have guests on, they have a book to read, and sometimes I read one big, heavy book, and sometimes I read two, because I don't like to have guests on when I don't read their book or I'm not familiar with whatever it is they want to talk about. Well, today it's kind of fun because I didn't have to read. I just had to eat. And the eating was good. So let's talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to be talking with the people from Upton Naturals, Nicole Sopko and maybe Dan Stackman. We'll find out. But both of them are involved with Upton Naturals. Dan is the founder and president of Upton Naturals, a completely vegan seitan production company based in Chicago, Illinois, founded in 2006. Upton Naturals has seen tremendous growth every year that it has been operational, with an incredibly loyal customer base and ever-growing retail distribution. Stackman has succeeded in building and maintaining one of the country's seitan production companies, vegan for over 20 years. Woo! Dan has been a longtime advocate for veganism, animal rights, and environmental sustainability. And then Nicole is the vice president of Upton Naturals, a completely vegan seitan production company, like I said before. She's a certified yoga teacher of 8 years and has been vegan for over 17 years. Nicole started helping out around the Upton's office a few years ago, and her dedication to the growth of the company and passion for their products quickly propelled her into the role of VP, where she now oversees multiple aspects of day-to-day operations. She also operates two yoga centers. Whoa. One which is located within the Upton's Naturals factory building. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Oh.
Nicole, hello. How are you doing? And Dan.
Good. Yeah, we're both here.
Okay, first question, Dan. How do you say your last name?
Stackman.
Stackman. Okay, so I didn't do a bad job of it. Just checking.
Nope.
So as I'm reading your bios, Nicole, I'm saying, you know, how do you do all of that? Two yoga centers, VP of Upton Naturals, and I'm thinking, well, it's clearly obvious you're a vegan. Vegans are amazing.
You know, it's easy to do a lot when none of it feels like work.
Yeah, that too. Okay, so I wanted to talk about a number of things. So what you make is seitan, and maybe you want to tell my listeners, I'm sure they all know, but maybe some don't, what is seitan? And since it's just before Halloween and people might be getting their devil costumes together and wanting to be Satan, seitan is not connected to the devil Satan.
It's
maybe,
not?
I don't think so. Maybe you can tell me otherwise, but I know some people pronounce seitan like Satan sometimes, and it makes people very confused.
Yeah. Well, seitan is a centuries-old Asian product that is made by rinsing away all of the starch in wheat flour. What you have left is very high in protein and low in fat, and it is somewhat meat-like in texture.
So, no relationship to the Dark Lord.
To the what?
To any Dark Lord.
Okay,
although the phone company did give us the prefix here of 666.
No way.
Yeah.
That's our exchange in our neighborhood here.
Okay, now that's... Oh, you're right, 666. That's a little weird. Did that give you chills when you got that number?
Well, I mean, they gave us the option to deny it, but, you know, if that's what they want to give us, that's what we should have.
Yeah, go for it. Well, you're turning Satan into good stuff, seitan.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned, Dan, that this is something that people have been making for centuries, and the way that people made it by rinsing the starch away from flour. I don't know if people can really visualize this, but back in the old days when there wasn't internet and I was this lone vegan in my world and I discovered seitan, I don't know where I must have read about it in a magazine or something, but I went out and got some regular white flour and mixed it with a little water. I'm following the instructions. I'm rinsing the milky water away, and then there's like a little solid leftover kind of thing, and then you rinse it again, and you pour off the milky water, and you rinse it again until finally you just have this chewy, gummy, solid thing, and that's the gluten or the seitan. And it was quite a procedure, and when I did it, I was left with like next to nothing, just this little plop. But we've come quite a ways with making it easy and affordable, and you're making it for us.
Yeah, we do all the hard work for you. So by the time it's in your house, it's seasoned, it's ready to go, and all you have to do is eat and eat.
Now, this is a product that is great for people in transition, especially from getting away from feeling like they need meat in their diet and moving to plant foods. I mean, I know for myself, it really helped me. There was a time when seitan, either like a seitan piccata, just some like a traditional meat dish where you could make it vegan, was essential.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people who are regularly purchasing our products are not vegetarian or not vegan. They're, you know, seitan is still something that they find palatable and easy to use and not too, you know, weird or not too intimidating either.
Now, what I'm interested in, we'll talk a little bit more about your product in a moment, but I'm curious about how the company got started, how you decided it was seitan you wanted to make, and if you could give me a little detail about getting the company going, because from time to time, I like myself and to encourage my listeners to think about where their food came from beginning to when it got to their plate. And if you really do a good job, you could be sitting there for a very long time before you actually put the food in your mouth, because our food goes through all kinds of hoops and travels sometimes if you're not growing it and just eating something fresh. And building a company, a food company, isn't that easy, and keeping it going is not easy. So maybe you could talk a little bit about all that.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I am a vegan of over 20 years, and early on especially, seitan was always one of my favorite foods. I knew that I wanted to do something with food. I didn't have a food background or business background. I just, you know, kind of wanted to do something on my own and with food, and just decided to give it a shot. So I got a shared kitchen space with a friend of mine, and we just started experimenting. The only seitan that I had made previously was out of a box mix, and it did not go very well. So I was pleasantly surprised when we settled on our first product, which was the Italian, style seitan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we started out very slow growth, just in a few restaurants. Once it sort of proved itself there, we approached some retailers. You know, invested in the packaging, and just kind of branched out from there. You know, a few stores in Chicago, a few more, then a region, then another region. And just kept at it.
Were you doing something else at the same time, or just that?
Yeah. I mean, technically, I guess I was unemployed, but I had kind of a run-of-the-mill office job prior to that. And when that ended, I knew that that wasn't the place for me. So I had been buying and selling Modern Design. just, you know, to kind of pay the bills. I'm actually a world-class garbage picker. It's not as easy as it used to be, but I was just kind of doing that and experimenting with seitan, and luckily the seitan worked out.
Right. There's a, speaking of picking garbage, there's a gold mine here in New York City. Different days, people put out amazing things on the street.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. And if I had the time and a big warehouse, I could be collecting and refinishing and selling. And there's just some really gorgeous things that people just don't want anymore. It's incredible. Anyway, back to the product at hand.
Yes.
When I discovered your product, it was quite a few years ago, actually, at the first Chicago Vegan Mania.
Uh-huh.
You were there.
Yes.
And I was there, and I got to sample some of your wear.
And you were there early.
Yeah, I was a speaker or hosting the speakers or something upstairs. I'm not sure if it's in the same place it was originally, but it was quite a surprising event. I guess no one knew how many people were going to turn out, and it was a phenomenal turnout.
Yeah.
So there's a good market for this product, and there's so many different things you can do with it. So I tried a number of the different flavors. I think my favorite was the chorizo.
It's a popular one.
And so there's different, you can get a crumble version, or you can get like a, what do you call it, a chunky, more solid version.
Yeah, the traditional is a little chunkier, and then the chorizo ground and Italian are all more, they've got,
more finely ground.
They're more finely ground. They've got a bit more of an organic shape. And then we have a bacon that is sliced in sort of, well, bacon strips.
Oh, I haven't tried that yet. I didn't see that when I was in the store.
The bacon is our newest product and the one that people had demanded the most from us over the years, knowing that we made it for food service but not for retail.
Oh, isn't that funny? We have such a thing about bacon, and wouldn't it be great, or it is great, that there are alternatives to exploiting the pig.
Absolutely. I mean, whatever we can do to get people to eat seitan instead of pigs, we're happy to do it. And I've found that even us vegans and vegetarians, we're not immune from some of the bacon fetish.
Sure. Well, the BLT concept is really a very satisfying sandwich. And if we can have something that comes close to it, that's a beautiful thing without the exploitation and the cruelty and the suffering.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like it.
Our bacon seitan, all the sales of bacon seitan, 5% of those we donate to Farm Sanctuary for the pigs there.
Oh, very nice. So there's a lot more. You benefit in many ways if you buy this product. You get something that's delicious, and you also give back to some good work. Very
Absolutely.
Nice. So, okay, let me ask you a difficult question. It's not that difficult, but some people can't eat wheat, and gluten is in the news more and more. I'm not sure that everybody who talks about wheat and says they can't eat it really can't. You don't know how much of it is blown out of proportion, how much of it is a trend, how much of it is real. But there are a number of different foods, soy, wheat, some that have get some bad PR, and I just wondered how you felt about that.
It hasn't really affected us very much. I mean, certainly we do get people at in-store demos or different events that come up and say, they're gluten-free and
And what are you doing about it?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, we're gluten full, so you might want to just keep on walking.
Right.
We're usually happy to offer people a button or some other item that we have on the table that does not have gluten.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there are some people out there that just like to complain, but there's a lot of variety out here, out in the world, and that's the beautiful thing. And I think one thing we discover as vegetarians and vegans, when we eliminate animal foods, it's not a diet of deprivation. What happens is we open the door and we discover all of these incredibly wonderful plant foods out there. And some people may be allergic to a handful of them, but there are still so many others. Like, sometimes people say they can't eat soy for one reason or another, and they're concerned about their protein. And I tell them, you don't have to eat soy. There's so many wonderful foods out there. And so for those who have an allergy or a problem with one food or another, I'm too bad, but we live in a very vast, beautiful world with lots of options.
Well, we try to make good food with simple ingredients, and, you know, maybe it's not okay for everybody, but for most people, it works for them, and, you know, we're just doing the best we can.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just wondered because, I hear things all the time about wheat.
Yeah, we hear it sometimes, but, I mean, in general, people know what they're getting from us.
Right.
We're a company that makes seitan, so
right. Yeah.
That's what we do.
And like you said, it's centuries old.
Yeah.
I remember it was like some Buddhist monks or something that created it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what we understand. And, you know, this isn't some, the thing that we think about seitan, this isn't some fake food that you've created to try to replicate anything else. This is a food that's been around for a long time. It's not made in a laboratory. It's just real seitan.
You know, that's a good point because I mentioned soy before, and I like the minimally processed soy foods, tofu and tempeh and soy milk and edamame. But then there are these heavily manipulated processed soy products, isolated soy protein, where the protein in the soy has to go through all kinds of hoops and manipulations in a laboratory before it gets into the food. And as I mentioned before, as Dan mentioned and I followed up, the way to make gluten is a very simple, gentle process.
Yeah, our process uses just water. So the wheat protein is extracted using just water, no chemicals, nothing else. No neurotoxins like are used in the process of soy protein extraction. So it's safe for the people who are eating it, but it's also safe and not harmful to the people who are working in the plant extracting the protein.
Now I have a question. Who is Upton?
Upton is the man that I did not want to be myself.
What does that mean?
He's a fictional character, and he's our number one salesman.
Mm-hmm.
Dan is very humble and doesn't want to put his own face or his own name on the product, so he created Upton to hide behind.
Oh, I see. Well, Upton is rather dashing with a very nice mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I like him very much and kind of gives us that artisan old world feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also figured the name of the company would sound a little more interesting, you know, as Upton's Naturals as opposed to Dan's Seitan.
Oh, I don't know. It's got that rhythm and ring to it.
Yeah.
All right, just a little question, Nicole. Where does yoga fit into the world of seitan?
Oh, it's really, I don't know. you know, I mean, part of the teachings of yoga are not to harm anybody. And I think part of my work in being able to make seitan more readily available, in being able to give people a choice to not eat anyone, really plays into my yoga practice. You know, some days my yoga practice is just trying to do my best to keep this, you know, whatever part I play in keeping this place running. That's enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what do people do who are interested in finding your product but don't see it in their stores?
We have on our website, have a really great little form that you can print out and bring to wherever it is that you shop, and let them know that you would be interested in the product. And also, in addition to that, if you send us an email, there's an email address on that form. If you send us an email, we'll send you like a little surprise in the mail as a thank you for doing us that favor.
Surprises! I like surprises. Okay, I took the chorizo seitan and I did a number of different things with all the products I tried, but this was my favorite. So I'm a big soup eater, and I made a soup this week that had a barley miso broth with little turnip cubes, peas, onions, and I found these sweet potato starch noodles. Kind of makes a clear noodle really fun, and added some of the chorizo crumbles in there, and it was an amazing soup. I've never seen anything like it, and
yeah.
It was really a wonderful mix.
Dan is making a face like he might like to come to your house for dinner.
So. Yeah. Please let me know when you're in New York. You're more than welcome. We're always cooking up great things here.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so what else before I let you go? Anything you want to add to what we've talked about?
Well, I think we'd just like to add in the past year, people who have been following us on social networking may have seen the progress of us constructing our new building in Chicago. So we're in a brand new building that we've built in the Westtown neighborhood of Chicago that also has a small cafe in it.
Oh.
Yeah, so we have this little storefront. We call it Upton's Break Room since it's in our plant. We thought that was sort of funny, and since it's where everybody who works here eats, so we call it the Break Room. People who are visiting Chicago are totally welcome to come visit us in the break room. We have a great menu of sandwiches and bowls, and we have vegan soft serve, and we have baked goods that are made by cookbook author Kelly Peloza. So it's a great place here that we've created in Chicago, and we'd love it if people come see us.
Oh, that sounds great. I'm looking at the menu right now. You've got a fried bacon mac and cheese with bacon seitan.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Yeah, delicious. Ooh. It's a recipe that Dan. Do you want to talk about? Well, Dan's mother, when he was a child, would always make, you know, if there were leftover noodles from the day before, she would fry them in a pan. And they get a little crispy, and so that's where our fried bacon mac comes from. It's sort of inspired by Dan's mother's cooking when he was a child.
Yeah, well, it sounds very, very comforting. And I haven't been to Chicago in a while, but I know where I'm going the next time I get there.
We can't wait to see you.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for the vegan movement, keeping us fed with tasty, good things.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All the best to you. And the website is UptonsNaturals.com. UptonsNaturals.com. Wow. Okay, that was good. So definitely, if you get to a store, check out, well, they have on their website where to buy. So if you can't find something near you, then you'll have to print out their sheet and bring it into your favorite health food store and tell them to get some. Why not? All right, I'm not going to take a break just yet. I want to talk about what I've been doing this week. I've been cooking, And I haven't talked too much about what I've been cooking lately, but I feel like talking about it now because, like I said before, I love autumn, and with that chill in the air, that makes me start thinking about the cozy comfort foods. So I've been wanting for a really long time to make a pot pie, and so I did. Now, I've gone through variations of making pot pies all my life. I grew up, when I was young, eating something like, I think it was a Swanson chicken pot pie, frozen in a little aluminum tin. Maybe some of you know about those. They probably still exist. I don't know. I haven't been eating them for over a quarter of a century. But when I went vegetarian, I wanted to make my own, and so I started making my own with a wheat crust and a nice vegetable filling. But I haven't done it in a really long time, and I thought I would play with a gluten-free crust, and I did that this time, and it was really lovely. Now, you could take any favorite pastry crust. You could make your own, or you can buy a ready-made one in the store, but it's such a wonderful dish, and it's really not that difficult to do. It's just sauteing a bunch of vegetables, adding some liquid like water or a non-dairy soy milk, and adding a flour of your choice, either a regular white flour or I used an all-purpose gluten-free flour. No, I used, is that what I used? I'll have to check my recipe. But so satisfying, and you can freeze them and have them ready anytime. But whoa, you know, when people think about eliminating meat and they think they're going to be deprived, I keep thinking, what are you talking about? Every day I eat phenomenal food, pot pies. It's such a good recipe. And you can find it at responsibleeatingandliving.com. If you go to the recipe tab and click on main dishes, you'll find it there. Another thing I wanted to talk about is escarole. So I can be a bit of a chiseler. I'm always looking for the best prices when I'm buying produce, and I always buy organic, and organic can be pricey or not. It depends on what it is you're buying. Now, I'm always buying greens, and so I look for the least expensive greens, the best deal for the week, and usually those are the ones that are the freshest and in season. And this week, it was escarole, and I don't see escarole very often. And escarole is amazing because you can use it raw in a salad, and it's a stronger, more muscly leaf than a romaine. It's got a nice chew to it, but it's not too stiff. It's not as stiff as, say, a kale or a collard. But what's great about it is you can dress it, and it holds up if you have leftovers for the next day. You know, often if I use a softer lettuce, if I don't finish it that day, that half hour, it gets all wilted. But escarole holds up. It's got a lot of guts to it. And it's also great juiced, and it's great in soups. It's just a wonderful, wonderful green. And grab them now. At least when I shopped a few days ago, there were some beautiful ones out there. Escarole doesn't get a lot of press, but it's worth it. Try it. Let's see, one last thing before we take a break. Another favorite food for me is garbanzo flour. This is the magical flour made from just garbanzo beans and is the easiest thing in the world to use. And I can't make enough of them, so what I've been doing is making a soca, which is a garbanzo flour, chickpea flour crepe. Again, the recipes are at responsibleeatingandliving.com, but very simple. You take a cup of flour, a cup of water, mix it together. That's it. That's your batter. Sometimes I like to season it with a little coriander, a little onion powder, maybe a little hot curry powder, turmeric, just because I like to put turmeric in everything because it's so good for you. But it's the easiest crepe. It's the easiest pancake to make, and I like to use it as a wrap and fill up anything in it. You could put in up to natural chorizo in it or anything you like. It's such an easy, wonderful food. All right. I think it's time to take a break. What do you think? Let's take a quick break, get yourself a little beverage or something, and we will be back with my next guest. Hello, everybody. We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food here on this October 29, 2013. I got my drink. Did you get yours? I got a nice little cocktail here made of kale, escarole. I was just talking about escarole. A lot of celery, beets, a little lemon with the rind. Oh, nice. It's a pretty good cocktail. It's going to get me through the rest of the day. All right, let's talk about more green food, my favorite food, which is green. And I want to bring on my next guest, Victoria Butenko, who is the author of Green Smoothie Magic. She's an author, teacher, inventor, researcher, artist, and mother of three. She teaches classes on healthy living and raw food all over the world. As a result of her research and teaching, thousands of people are drinking and sharing green smoothies. She's the author of 12 Steps to Raw Foods, Green Smoothie Revolution, Raw Family Signature Dishes, and Green for Life. Green for Life is an award-winning international bestseller which has been translated into 26 languages with over 250,000 copies being sold worldwide, with more at rawfamily.com. Victoria, welcome to It's All About Food.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, well, I have known about you and your wonderful work for a very, very long time, and it's an absolute pleasure to have some time to be able to speak to you directly. I'm lucky.
Great, I'm pleased too.
Okay, I read your brief bio, but what I want to know is, how did you get so smart? How did you learn about food to begin with? Were you brought up that way?
Actually, my father was a pharmacist who was very interested in herbs, and I started picking up dandelions when I was like 5 and 6. Mm. I think that was the key. However, I was brought up on a typical food that was typical in Russia, the same typical as it is in the United States. And later in life, when I became very ill with arrhythmia and my family became ill, then I started to look into what could be the reason for being so unhealthy. And then I started to look at food, and I've learned that the main way of eating is actually not really very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was caused on a large scale by the industry. The food industry is a corporate business that is interested in profits more than in our health. In some ways, it works as sometimes as an enemy, because they're trying to hide things from us. And so we have to really, these days, we have to have our own brain working, and we have to make our own research. We cannot rely on food industry anymore for advice. And you can find a lot of things available. Plus, I think if you move in the direction of nature, more natural, when we can actually have the ingredients in our hands when we put them in our cooking devices, or, for example, when you make a green smoothie, that's the easiest, the fastest, and very palatable way of consuming lots of natural ingredients. I think in green smoothies, there is a combination, like duality, combination of technology and nature in one cup. It's like we have duality in everything. For example, on one side, there is a science with all this meticulous research, and now researching on the micro world on the level of nanotechnology. On the other hand, there is a wisdom of nature that's been sustaining health for millions of years,
yeah,
or thousands, or whatever you believe in. And so in green smoothie, you have a combination of both. How great is that?
I think it's pretty great, and I think that we should be taking the best of everything.
Yes, yes, and green smoothies have been really helpful to so many people, because it's really easy. There's really nothing hidden there. You buy your own ingredients. There's nothing, like, no chemicals in there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That it just took the world like gigantic green tsunami. And now I really spent much time this year for promoting it for children, because who will take Obama's place and Vladimir Putin's place in 20, 30 years? Who will be voting for or against GMOs and food safety issues in, say, 2040s? The answer is today's children. What are our children learning about healthy eating today? They are learning from 20,000 of commercials per year per each child. For example, in U.S. statistically, 20,000 per year. And
those commercials are not about healthy food. They're about eating junk food.
Junk food like pizza and all kinds of drinks.
Yes, and it's not just from the television. It's posted in their schools. It's in their community centers. It's coming out of their phones. Companies are targeting children now by sending them messages into their cell phones. They're everywhere. They're in elevators. They're everywhere.
The food industry is smart, and they're very fast, and they aim at our children. So why don't we aim our children? And so I decided to create children's books of a very high quality. There are some children's books created by people, but because there is no profit in that, absolutely no profit, nobody would ever give you a hand in promoting children's health
mm-hmm.
books. You have to do it out of your pocket. So I decided to create several books. And as I'm a best-selling author and I have a publishing company, I know what it takes to create a really, really high-quality book. So I held a competition for artists to illustrate my books. And so I have written 5 books for children. And my favorite is The Green Smoothie Magic. That is a captivating story of an adventurous boy who learns how to be healthy in an enjoyable way. And it's not just preaching, saying that you must eat, you will be healthy. No, it's a very captivating, really, really, truly captivating story with a beautiful, gorgeous illustrations.
Well, I want to tell you that last night, I always read all the books before I talk to authors on my show.
Uh-huh.
And I don't often read children's books, but I like them very much, and they're a lot easier to read. Mm-hmm. And so before going to bed last night, I read Green Smoothie Magic out loud to my partner, Gary. And it was wonderful. You're right, it is a captivating story. The artwork is really beautiful. I enjoyed reading the story. I wanted to know how it ended. And I just really enjoyed it very much, and I didn't know that you had more of them, so I'm going to have to read them, too.
Well, I have 5. And what's interesting about this Green Smoothie Magic book that I gave away last year 500 copies for free, because there is really no market. People just don't buy healthy books. They just don't think how important is that. And so I gave them away, and many parents told me that this is the first time when they really got the idea of why green smoothie is so healthy.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, I actually said I started to salivate, and in the morning I went to the kitchen with the intention to make green smoothie for me too. So I get it's really delivers the message.
Yeah, no, you really did an excellent job. I really I like this book, and I think, you know, the holidays are coming up. Might be a little wide for a stocking, but it would make a nice addition to a pile of gifts, I think.
Yes, and you know, children love to read the book they like many times. I know from observing my 2 grandchildren, by reading these books, young readers will begin to develop a naturally healthy way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're sick and tired of us telling them, eat your carrots, eat your broccoli. Here, they won't be defensive. They just like this little boy, Nick, who is the hero, and they will associate themselves with him, hopefully. And the more children have access to natural health messages, the better is for our world. Again, they're going to take care of us. What are we thinking about? Who's going to decide when we get older, when you and I become 70, 80 years old, who will be making decisions what to feed us?
Well, you know,
we don't want them just euthanize us because we don't know what to do with us. We really have to educate them. What do we do for that?
Absolutely. So the sad thing is, though, you probably know this, Victoria, is that some of the studies are coming out now saying that the young people today aren't even going to live as long as people live today.
Yes, this is true. And so this is a way for them to research. And also, where do adults learn about health? They either learn it from their friends or they learn it from literature. And if you go on Amazon, there are over 500 books published with just the words green smoothie in them. But children don't have that opportunity. They don't go to Amazon, and there is nothing written so that they could understand. There is really no healthy library. I hope that some authors who hear me, some publishers, will begin to really spend time on that. And also, I hope that our government will begin to some kind of subsidize and take care of that, because we all are very interested in having a healthier generation of people coming after us.
Well, we live in a society that is profit motivated, and capitalism is designed so that the goal is to make a profit, and corporations are designed so that shareholders are happy. And we need to change that philosophy. We need to make it all businesses certainly should be profitable, but there should be a social element to it where they're doing something good for the world. And I personally don't think it should be a shareholder-driven thing, but that's just my personal opinion, and we've got a long way to go before that changes. But I could see, and I see it here and there, where some companies make a blended drink that has greens in it.
Yeah, they have to, because there's such a demand in society, and I'm constantly contacted with different people from all over the world that want my signature, my approval of some kind of a powdered drinks or frozen drinks or pasteurized drinks. And I'm telling them always, no, I would never, ever support anything like this, because green smoothie is the essence of green smoothie is that you pay your own dollars for the produce you want to go in there. So there are no preservatives in there, no chemicals. This is why it's so healing, because it's natural. And you see with your own eyes what's in there, and then you drink it, you're sure that it's a good stuff. And, you know, Karen, I receive testimonials. Just before you called, I received another testimonial. I receive testimonials every single day from people whose even diseases like arthritis and depression and all kinds of different pains and eczema and diabetes, they reversed. I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not supposed to prescribe anything, but they just testify that their disease reversed by just consumption of one quart of green smoothie every single morning. And this is absolutely true. I'm actually collecting now testimonials, and I decided to put them in some kind of a book or publish them, because it's the power of green smoothie is so huge. I recently discovered that Swedish scientists, along with the Japanese scientists, they discovered the huge importance of magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
It has been underestimated. And you know what? In the middle of chlorophyll molecule, there is an atom of magnesium. So when green smoothie, there are lots of magnesium. And now Swedish scientists, they can link magnesium to deficiency, to such thing as depression, diabetes, obesity, cavities in your teeth, so many things, osteoporosis, and apparently 1.5% of our bone is magnesium, and more than 80% of Americans are significantly low in magnesium. So either you drink green smoothies every day and improve your health, or you begin to take supplements of magnesium, which could be iffy and questionable and could have side effects.
That's right. We're complicated human beings. I mean, all living beings are complicated, and a lot of things work together. Hundreds of thousands of things occur every minute in our bodies, and for scientists to think, it's just easy for them to isolate something and see how it works and how it helps or how it hurts, but too many things work together in harmony, and the best way we're going to get that is the way nature planned it, from whole foods, minimally processed foods, plants, that have them all practically in the ratios that we need them already.
Yes, and according to anthropological research, humans in history, they used to eat lots of greens every day and lots of fruit. Their diet could be up to 40% of different greens that are edible, like young leaves of fruit trees, for example, and some herbs, some grasses. And so today we practically don't eat that. We just eat this one wilted iceberg lettuce leaf in a Subway sandwich. That's about it.
Maybe, yeah, if we don't pull it out.
And we need, I think, to have about a pound of greens every single day.
At least, yes.
But
I
we
agree.
Don't have time to chew that. Because in when as historical people probably were spending several hours chewing those greens to consume them and had better teeth, and so now we have this mechanical teeth is a good blender, a powerful blender that helps us to blend it so it's easy absorbable, easy digestible. And I even found out through observation that if people prefer to eat greens in a salad, they need to eat 2 pounds a day to completely answer all the requests of the body in nutrition. But if they blend it, 1 pound is completely enough. Because when you blend it, then the body absorbs it more completely.
Right, it's more absorbable.
Yes,
I had heard that. I love green smoothies. I love anything green. I eat green foods every way I possibly can. I have a green juice every day, and I eat salads, and I steam them, and I make blended salads or smoothies from time to time. It's all wonderful. Do you know that? I'm not going to name any names, but I know that there's one doctor that I respect a great deal, but he doesn't think smoothies are a good thing.
Yes, and I wrote to this doctor open letter.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the doctor who says that blending destroys the fiber, correct?
I think he was saying that it wasn't good because you add a lot of sugars to it, and for people that are especially sugar sensitive, they'll get a lot of calories and not... I thought it was crazy, personally.
I have responded to every single criticism that I was aware of, and this one also. So on online, there is a Botanical Films on YouTube. There is a Botanical Films account, and there you can find several live testimonials. One for particular is about is taken of a woman. She's from India, who's been on insulin for 17 years with type 1 diabetes. Mm. And on camera, without interruption, she is measuring her blood sugar, which is high. Then she takes green smoothie with banana in it. She's scared. She takes it, and then she waits like 2 minutes. She measures her blood sugar, and it becomes lower.
Oh.
And in my green smoothie retreats, I've noticed that diabetics, especially those who come with medication, they're so afraid of not take medication, and I'm telling them, you have to be careful because from green smoothies, from chlorophyll having magnesium in it that interferes with your body, how it works, and it heals the diabetes very quickly, you have to be aware that your blood sugar could become too low, which is way more dangerous than having it too high. And sometimes they end up eating dates, because their blood sugar does become too low. And so you can go to that Botanical Films and actually watch this woman. It's just like 5 minutes video and see for yourself that it's a true testimony. Just on.
Where do we find that? At rawfamily.com?
No, you go to YouTube.
Okay.
And then it's free. It's Botanical Films. And there are many of them. But you, of course, you have to be careful with diabetes, especially diabetes type 1, because diabetes 2 decrease the amount of insulin you're taking with type 1 diabetes, you have to also include exercise. It cannot be done only with the diet. And we have published lots of information about this. And again, we're not doctors. We just shared what we know, which you could apply, and it helps. And the medical doctors, they confirm that it's possible to add vigorous aerobic exercise and increase your consumption of fiber and greens. And that combination really does help with diabetes. But diabetes type 2, usually, if you begin to live on green smoothies, it becomes reversed within 3 days, very, very fast. It's really so effective. I think, first of all, because of magnesium and fiber.
Well, what's fascinating is two things. One is there are foods that clearly aren't good for us, and fill us with toxins, and then there are foods that are good for us and not only nourish our body and strengthen our immune system, but they clear out toxins. It's kind of like one or the other. And the green smoothies, those green foods, they nourish our bodies, they clean out toxins. They are indeed magic, as you say in your little book, Green Smoothie Magic.
Yes, and green smoothies also are very delicious. There is a belief that's popular that healthy foods are not delicious. This is not true about green smoothies. If you make a proper green smoothie, it is so palatable. Everybody who tries it the first time, they're very afraid to try it, but as soon as they take a first sip, their face is usually lit up, light
yes,
up, and they say, wow, that's actually good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so natural. You cannot really taste the greens in it because there are fruits, there are mangoes, or bananas or apples that completely dominate the flavor of chlorophyll. Like if you will just blend greens, it will smell just like the grass of your lawn, grass clippers of your lawn. It will smell very, very strong. But
yeah,
as soon as you add fruits to it, and I would put between 40 and 60% fruit, depending on your choice, then it really dominates both the flavor and the taste, and it's so palatable. Even children have no reservation to drinking it.
Now, you raised how many children?
I have 3 children and 2 grandchildren and lots of nephews and nieces.
And did you raise your children on healthy plant foods from the beginning, or did you make your transition?
No, unfortunately
later?
Not. But I started with my 2 younger children when they were 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Valia was 8 and Sergei was 9, and that made a big difference. And I see when they visit with me, they're now 28 and 29. When I visit with them, I see that when they visit with me, I see that if they stressed, for example, they don't ever go to bad foods like to chocolate or anything like other, you know, see people as to alcohol or just white bread or pastry. If they stressed, I see that they either begin to eat dates or raisins, or just something, some sweet fruit like mango or...
They have some good habits.
Yeah. So I see that, and it just so warm in my heart because I think, well, even I started not from the beginning, but they have already good habits, and this is so great. It's cool. I'm so kind of happy for them, and I don't have to worry.
Right. Now, what was it... easy from the beginning, or did they resist when you first wanted to change the food?
Karen, it was early enough they didn't have choice.
Okay, because it's so hard for parents today. You know, we were talking before about corporations and commercials, but
mm-hmm.
kids just want to do what everybody else is doing.
First of all, there are 2 things you have to do. First of all, I informed my children. I always, when I read the book, I would always read parts of this book or tell them in my own words. For example, I tell them that 80% of any commercial cereal has sugar in it, and that's what sugar does to your body, and I just explain to them. Or I would tell them about GMO or something. I just told them facts that they could understand. Secondly, for example, I told them when they wear GMO wheat, they have
what
to wear
show,
masks
the
when they harvest
fanatical
in it.
Fanatical Tea Party Republicans.
Oh, are you there? Yeah,
Washington.
I am. Yes. And the second thing, I always invited them, appreciated their help in helping me, even though sometimes they were messy. I would say, I need help to peel these bananas, or I need help juicing these fruits and vegetables or carrots. If children make or participate in making smoothie or juice, they would want to eat it. They would want to at least try it. They cannot ignore that. Those 2 main recommendations I would give to parents who want to include their children into eating healthier. But preaching works counter. It just doesn't really help.
Doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work with kids. It doesn't work with adults either.
Yeah,
because we're just big kids.
Yeah, and also by example. For example, my older son, who has 2 children, recently he pulled his back and he started to have backache.
Oh.
And I said, "Why don't you fast?" He says, "I really don't want to fast because I would rather just take some pill and just."
Mm.
But I say, "You know what? If you fast, your children will see you fasting, and they'll ask you, and even not asking, but you tell them, you know, I'm fasting because my back hurts." That it goes into their inside of their unconsciousness, and if they have pain, they will do the same thing. So it's very important because they really take example from the parents.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Eventually he did fast, and his pain went away so fast, and he kept raving, like, wow, just one day of water fasting, and completely my pain is gone without doctors.
Yeah, we have some very distorted opinions and ideas about how to manage symptoms, how to manage pain and illness, whereas some very simple things can really resolve many, many, many problems.
Exactly, exactly. You know, this year, my two children and I, we went to a place in Siberia where there are 80 centenarians for every 1,000 of people. There are lots of centenarians living in there. And so we went there with our cameras, and we were interviewing people. And there were, imagine there would be a 105-year-old woman who was born in 1903 or 1908. And we would ask her, do you take any drugs? Do you take any medicine? And she would look at us like we're crazy. She said, no, no, I don't. And she's 105 years old. She's sewing. And she doesn't even use glasses. She doesn't have glasses. She's sewing mittens for her great-grandchildren, whom she had like 100. So it was pretty amazing to see that people don't take no medicine. This is in our world.
Yeah. So many people have just been manipulated to the point where they think it's natural. It's natural to have problems as we age, so many of these problems which we cause or we put on ourselves. Well, we've come to the end of the half hour, Victoria, and I'm so glad to have had this opportunity to talk to you. I loved reading Green Smoothie Magic, and I might just take it to bed and read it tonight again.
Yes, everybody go to Amazon, look for Green Smoothie Magic. Yay!
Yes, okay. Thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you for having me, Karen.
Okay, take care. Be well.
Green life. Bye-bye.
Green life. Right on. So that was Victoria Butenko, and you can find more at rawfamily.com. There's a lot there. Okay? So that's it. That's the end of the program today. You've been listening to It's All About Food. I'm Karen Hartglass. Visit me at responsibleeatingandliving.com and have a delicious week.